Okay, today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2015, and I am going to be interviewing Pat Gauntz, who is a lifelong Kansas City, Kansan, and champion of the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. My name is Ann Lacey, and I'm a librarian here at Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. Pat was born on September 4th, 1934, so she is 80 years old. She and I are at the interview, and we plan to cover a little bit of Kansas City, Kansas history, history of the library, and just some personal things about Pat. So, let's start with you. How long have you lived in Kansas City, Kansas?
My entire life.
All right.
And I worked for the library for 46 years before I retired in 2006.
Wow. And so tell me a little bit about growing up in Kansas City, Kansas.
It was such a safe place. My friends and I grew up at 13th and Quindaro, which now everybody shudders when they hear that address. But I used to walk with my friends or by myself to Clam Park, which is in the western area, was the western area of the city then, and never thought a thing about it, and walked back home after the ball games at night at 10 o'clock at night. We played outside all the time. It was just a safe place to go. My parents never owned an automobile till I was 18. So naturally, walking was not just a hobby, it was a necessity. But it was a wonderful place to live. And neighbors were truly neighbors. We knew each other, we looked out for each other. And it was just a warm place to live.
So what inspired you to work in libraries?
Actually, I wasn't inspired necessarily to work in the library. I was trained as an administrative assistant for a director in the airlines until I had my second baby. And when I had my third, I became a full-time mom and missed working so terribly. And of course, with three little kids, we really needed the money. So I was looking for a part-time job that would work around my eldest going to first grade. And my sister worked then as a secretary for the school district and public library system, actually assigned to the director. And she says, I can get you a job as a library assistant working in the elementary schools, and you can just work so many days a week. I said, sounds good to me. You know, we had one car and it would work for me to take my husband to work and back. So I started working at two of the furthest schools from my home, of course, and which one is no longer even there. But I worked with a dedicated person named Golda Buchanan. She was not a professional librarian. There were none in our elementary program at the time. Just people who cared about libraries. And this woman motivated me, because if children couldn't come to school, they were sick, she would go by their home at night and drop books off. We had a special ed class that ripped my heart every time they came in, because they were so appreciative of the materials and whatever. And I just grew to love the work, and as I could, took on more and more days. And I might tell you that I made $7 a day, and it was, wow. I had to bring my own typewriter. And at that time, it was a typewriter, you know, the old fashioned kind. But I worked 8 hours and made $7 a day and was happy to get it. But I was in the elementary program for 9 years. And I worked 5 days a week by that time and loved it, absolutely loved it. And worked in the summers. We kept schools open in the summer for summer reading. And I think when I left the elementary program, I was making $10 a day. But I was offered an opportunity to move to the high school, at Washington High School, as a library assistant there. And that was my first exposure to the high school level reading. And then the director, who was absolutely one of my heroes in life, Willard Dennis, he said, I've been watching you in your work, and I want to offer you a job back in the public sector. I want you to take over the branch that is a co-op between the Junior League and the Winona County Library, and it's at 98th and State Avenue, and it needs a lot of work. But there's nobody there now, but a man that comes in and works at night and part-time, and I want you to go in and see what you can do about that place. And I said, wow, you know, I'm not sure I can work on an adult level. I've been reading Lauren Goes Wilder and kids' books for so long, I'll have to acclimate myself to the adult reading.
Sounds like a great challenge.
It was a great challenge, considering the fact the person who had worked there, that was a volunteer hired by the Junior League in the county library, had taken the Kansas reading catalog and had, if she was given $200, she started at A in the author list, and when she spent and bought the books up to her $200 was gone. So we were heavy in the A through first half of the alphabet, I'll say, and then there was nothing. The nonfiction was almost non-existent. So it was quite a building collection, mm-hmm. and a real challenge. But we made it work, and then we needed desperately for more space. So my director negotiated with Wanda Plaza Shopping Center to rent him space. They built him 6,000 square feet of space, and we started a library in Wyandotte Plaza, and the rest is history. That building was such a challenge because the people were hungry for library service in the western part of the city, and consequently we had built again, add on to that building, and we built another 6,000 square feet that was dedicated just to children's programming. And that's when I came out of the closet. I recognized the fact I was a closet kid and that I loved being a children's librarian. And every Tuesday we had about 200 three, 4, and 5-year-olds with their parents that came for story time.
Wow.
It was an absolutely amazing experience and one of the greatest ones of my life. And as I moved up into the library world in my career, some of those same kids that were my 3, 4, 5-year-olds became my pages at West Wyandotte Library. But we exceeded everybody's expectations there. The Board of Education, the public library staff, administration. We did more circulation out of Wyandotte Plaza than the main library, Argentine Library, and the Bookmobile total, which were the other three entities at the time.
And how long was the library at that location at Wyandotte Plaza?
We moved into Wyandotte Plaza in 1971, and we were there to till 1986 when we moved into West Wyandotte.
When did you know that it was time to advocate for a new building?
It was time within 5 years there. I mean, it was just, we just kept adding people, adding hours. We were open till 9 o'clock at night, and the only building in the system that was. And for years we had no professional librarian because I'm not trained as a professional librarian. And that was another issue of my life by the State Library in Emporia College. The SLIM director, Martha Hale, who's another of my heroes, and Ernie Voss, worked for the State Library, started a program, K-Place, which was a program for non-degree library directors, because throughout the state of Kansas, there were very few professional librarians in all the many, many libraries that Kansas had. They were non-degree people that came many times as volunteers and then were hired finally by their library board. And that program was wildly successful. I loved it. I taught in it every year. Achieved the 3-level certification myself, and sixth level of continuing education for the state of Kansas library, which was really my library education. And it was kind of interesting because it was very difficult to be the head of the branch, the most used and productive branch of Kansas City, Kansas Public Library, and me, a non-degreed librarian. It wasn't accepted by many directors after Mr. Dennis passed, and I was his special child, so to speak, because I proved to people that the passion that I had for libraries and my own desire to get continuing education to enable me to be as qualified as the librarians on my staff without a piece of paper. I had a lot of proving to do for every director after that. And we moved to, I was very active in the community always. I was the second woman in 102 years to be elected president of the area Chamber of Commerce. And gave me an entree to all the business people and businessmen. It was a great fraternity when I took over at the time. And it was interesting because then they began to give us support financially for projects we wanted to do with the library. And one day at a luncheon, the man sitting next to me said, "I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse." And I, you know, kind of blew it off. And he says, "I'm serious about that." He says, "I'm the chair in the commercial bank of the trust department. And a former superintendent, F.L. Slagle, whom happened to be the superintendent that I started with in 1960, he and his wife had no children. And she's in a nursing home. He's now deceased, as you know. But they've left a legacy for the library. And when she dies, this money can be used to build a branch in the western part of the city." Well, I just was elated about this. And I said, "I thank you for telling me." And I immediately went to the director, Charles Joyce, at the time, who was from Boston, and asked him if we couldn't make a presentation to the Board of Education about buying property in the western part of the city so that when Mrs. Slagle passed, we'd have this inheritance to begin the building of a new library we needed so desperately. And he says, "Well, I'm not really sure about that." So having worked for the current superintendent, O.L. Plucker, another of my heroes, for so long, I went up to see him. And I said, I'm jumping overhead, I know, and I will expect to get my hand slapped for that, but you need to know this. And so I told him. He, being also a community person, called the commercial bank and verified my story and immediately started looking for property to build West Wyandotte on. And seeing the cost of property was pitiful at the time. So Arrowhead had this huge campus, the middle school, and he said, "We're going to put that library on the campus, and we're not going to wait for Mrs. Slagle to die. We have money in our building fund, and we're going to build you a new library pad. We know it's needed. I've seen the work that you've done over the years, and we're going to give you a library."
That's wonderful.
And that's how West Wyandotte came to build. And he gave me Gene Buchanan to work with. And interestingly, Gene and I were friends all through high school. And his wife was a fantastic decorator. And we worked Saturdays and Sundays at his house. And it was an unorthodox arrangement. But he said, he sat me down at a table when we first started. He said, "Dream your dreams. I want you to dream your dreams to me." And I did.
That's a great place to be.
It was. It was an amazing thing. And when I was growing up, we were very poor. I didn't know it. My parents never knew. But we had an old house with window seats in it. And I used to sit in those window seats. And my mom would go to the dry goods store and get pattern books. And the wallpaper store and get wallpaper books. And we couldn't afford to buy bought and paper dolls. So I'd cut the people out of the pattern books and I'd make clothes out of the wallpaper in the wallpaper books. And I said, "Gene, my parents are both deceased. They would be so proud of me right now." And I said, "I would like to have window seats in my building because it's nobody will know what it means to anybody but me and you now, but my mom and dad will know." And he says, "We're going to do it. You're so insistent on the special things in the children's room. We're going to start with very small window seats and graduate up to the intermediate size window seats. So the little kids will have a place to sit and read or look at books or puzzles or whatever you want. And it'll cover all ages in that room until you get to young adult. And then we'll have the big folks. And we'll put listening stations in there so that they can sit down and they can have a tape put on to the AV department was the first to have an individual AV department. And anyway, they were so kind and they made this building, they designed this building for the customer. And it was just so important to me. And I said, we need public reading, meeting space, and of course the art gallery, you know, it's gotta be in the specs. But anyway, that's kind of my story of how that progressed.
And what about the Schlegel Library? You mentioned Mr. and Mrs. Schlegel, so that must be the yes. seed money that started that
exactly
library.
Exactly right.
And that is such a unique library as well. I think it's one of the only environmental libraries in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
I know it's the only one in the Midwest that of its kind. I don't know about the nation now, but at the time it was. Everything happened so fast. But anyway, when Mrs. Schlegel passed, the trust department contacted us and told us that there was money, and now, of course, it's a moot point because this building was built, and the money that was there certainly wouldn't have built this building for $6 million. But I said, you know, we talked about Turner, we talked about Edwardsville and Bonner, because they pay into the Wyandotte County Library tax. But then the city offered space in the Wyandotte County Park. And Mike Connor, the director of Parks and Recreation, and I were also good friends. And I said, this is a perfect collaboration. We need a science area. And so we put our ideas together. We pulled science people from the school district and just people that had knowledge of this kind of a environment. And we came together with the county and the city and the school district to build Schlegel Environmental Library. It was never really intended to be a public library branch. It was strictly for, it would be like a workshop area for the schools, for field trips and whatever, and not just our school district, but every school district within the county that pays into the Wyandotte County Library Fund. But it became so popular that we had requests from Johnson County, Leavenworth, Kansas City, Missouri. It truly became a unique opportunity for teachers interested in the sciences. The most important part of Schlegel Library to me was the initial staff. And Jessica Lawrence is still there. And I will tell you, that library succeeded because of her. She wrote lesson plans that adhered to state standards so that when a teacher brought her class for one of their programs there, that it met the guidelines for credit for state standards for that teacher's classroom. She got credit for that. And Jessica wrote all those programs herself, coordinated the standards, and in the meantime, she received her master's in administration. And she'd come when the schools were closed and the libraries were closed because of snow days. She'd put on her boots and come in the back way, even though the park was closed. She'd walk into that library and make sure that all the exhibits, the snakes were warm, and oh my gracious. I mean, she's a one of a kind. I owed her everything for Schlegel Library. But that's how it came to be, and we all put in our what we could put in, and the Parks Department paid the utilities and maintained the building. And I mean, it's been a collaborative. I still have a wish. I wish it was taken out of the public library sector and given to the science department of the schools, mm-hmm. because I truly believe they could do more. It really doesn't serve a purpose as a public library. That's just one more a job that those librarians have to take care of, and I don't think it's that there aren't that many people that check out books there, mm-hmm. other than science books, and that could be him. That's I don't want to let my personal prejudices.
So you worked for Kansas City, Kansas Public Libraries for
46 years.
So since you've been retired, tell me a little bit about what you've been doing for the community. I know you're very involved in community service.
I retired in 2006, and 2007, 27, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and faced death. That's what it amounts to. I had cancer of the throat, and I had a mass in my throat and my tonsils, and never smoked a cigarette in my life, but there was a purpose behind it, I guess. But I fought that black curtain with chemotherapy, aggressive chemotherapy, for a year and 2 months of daily radiation before I felt like I was on my way to beating it, you know, I was in remission. But my whole life, I had to look at my life very differently because I had a bad habit of never saying no to anybody that called. I was involved in way too many projects and big projects. I had been the area chairman for Kathleen Sebelius when she was governor, and or running for governor. And after two terms, and she is another of my heroes, by the way. She and Carol Marinovich, strong women that fought for what they wanted, and I really admired them. They were great, and they're two of my heroes in that side of my life. But anyway, Kathleen called me after her first term, after her election to her first term, and asked if I would be her one of her five transition team leaders, which meant she wanted me to take over Health and Human Services, and we would do an audit of the whole state, every agency that touched it. That was a big learning experience to go into the area agencies on aging, any social services and health things, and find out why the money was going into a sinkhole. Anyway, that's another story altogether, but it gave me a look at a different side of life, and since then she and I have remained friends, and it introduced me to healthcare, and I was invited at that time by her to have a position on the Kansas University of Kansas Hospital Authority Board, which is a very prestigious board of very wealthy people. I was the odd man out, but I represented Wyandotte County, and I learned so much about health care. And Carol Marinovich asked me to chair the Mayor's Access to Health Care to see why Wyandotte County has the lowest opportunity for health care in the whole state of Kansas and the highest rate of uninsured. So that was an adventure. So when I was sick, I saw the hospital and the illness and the disease from the inside out. And I promised myself when I got well that I would simply be an advocate for anything to do with health care or education. And they crossed the line in many cases. So I stopped saying yes to all the other things that were fun and I loved doing and took a lot of time and gave my children and my husband a view of Kansas City they hadn't seen before. But this was serious business, and I have dedicated myself to that. So I served 10 years on the University of Kansas Hospital Authority Board, and then moved to the Turning Point Board, which is an offshoot of KU Hospital, but offers training and social services and support services to anyone with cancer or life-threatening illness for free. It's a strictly supported by volunteer donations. So that, and I've remained on the Wyandotte Health Foundation board, which offers $2 million of grants every year to local agencies for programs and services that help the people who don't have help someplace else. And I began years ago with the Kansas City, Kansas Community College Endowment when it got started. And have watched it grow and develop, and we began the Mid-America Education Hall of Fame, which is unique to any community college for sure, and unique to states. We cover for the states surrounding Kansas as well as Kansas. But anyway, I've stayed with that because I believed in it, and I'm on the advisory board for the college's adult continuing education. So basically, those things are what really keep me busy in my outside of family life. Mm-hmm. But I'm selective about the time I give to it, because now at age 80, I have some married grandchildren and two great-grandchildren that absolutely own me. They're 5 and 2, and I feel so blessed, because some people never have that pleasure. But you know what, Anne? I swore, never having grandparents, that when I had a grandchild, I would be the best darn grandparent there ever was. And I'm trying. Sounds In fact, when my first granddaughter was born, Wyandotte Plaza staff posted a great big long billboard sign, "Thank God she's finally a grandmother." And I still have that sign rolled.
Sounds like some lucky grandchildren.
Oh my goodness, they're just absolutely the pride of my life. So that's what I'm doing with my time.
Wonderful. Sounds like you're very busy.
Busier than I should be.
So can you tell me what you think maybe your fondest memory of living in Kansas City, Kansas is?
Well, my three children, who now are 61, 58, and 56, were all raised here in Kansas City, Kansas. Went through the school system here and got very good educations. Two of my children finished college. My daughter works for the public library and was a teacher for 27 years before she became a library employee. And my youngest son graduated from Baker University and owns his own business. And his daughter is a language arts teacher out in Shawnee Mission East. And my eldest son has a boy that has just graduated from high school and has another one who is a junior. So, and then I have these precious great-grandchildren. But I have, so family life has been important to me. We were always really involved, and it was good to us here in Wyandotte County. It's been good to me. It's accepted me. I wasn't raised with a family that had college degrees. No one in my family had a college degree. My mother was 15 when she and my dad got married. He finished high school, and I don't believe she ever did. She never talked about it, and I never asked. But they always encouraged me as the youngest. However, I did earn a full scholarship when I graduated from Wyandotte High School in 1952 to K-State. But my mother at that time said, "I can't be involved in educating any more kids. She's got a good business education. She can't go to college. That's just all there is to it. I just can't do it." And you know what? In that day and age, as an 18-year-old, I didn't argue. Mm-hmm. I just said, "I can't accept the scholarship. I'm sorry. I have to take a job," which I did. But anyway, you know, so that was important to me there. But growing up in Kansas City, Kansas was... I really never got involved in anything but my kids' activities, ball and scouts and campfire and all that, until I was about in my late 40s, and that's when I got involved with the Women's Chamber of Commerce. Actually, the woman who was the interior design person for this building took me to a Women's Chamber meeting for the first time, and I never even heard of the Women's Chamber. And a few years later, I was the president of Women's Chamber. Was for 2 years, and that was my entree to the area chamber board, because the Women's Chamber president has a seat there. So, you know, it's kind of been like a domino effect. And the more I got involved with one thing, then a door opened for another. And I was like a kid in a candy store. I loved everything I learned. I have a passion for learning. It's a thirst for learning. If I wasn't 80 years old, my friend, I would be taking classes at the area technical school to learn how to do home repairs, because I just get so mad when something breaks and my husband isn't good at doing anything like that, and I have to call the repair people. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think I'm a little past that.
So do you have any hopes for the future of Kansas City, Kansas, and Wyandotte County? What would you like to see happen here?
I would really like to see this health care issue resolved, because we're still the highest rate of uninsured in the state of Kansas and Wyandotte County. I think the Affordable Health Care Act has opened that up for a lot of people, but we're a long ways from it. And when Bethany closed their hospital here, that left a void in the inner city. And KU and Providence have both been just overloaded with patients that have no doctor. So they use the emergency rooms as their primary care doctor. But so healthcare is an issue that I would really like to see served. I've always wanted to see the downtown area revitalized. At one time, I proposed to Carol Marinovich, and she and I worked on this together, and it went like nowhere. We wanted to see it turned into like a mass street in Lawrence. We thought it could be a gallery area. You know, there's the multicultures that are in Wyandotte County. Gracious, we're a breadbasket of opportunity there, you know, with the different cultures from Strawberry Hill and the African-American community, the Indian community. I mean, gracious, there's just so many opportunities. We had this pipe dream of seeing these arts and crafts shops and maybe lofts overhead where the artists could live, for that matter, and all the various food groups and whatever that could be introduced in little small restaurants. We just knew that could happen. We talked to a developer about it, and he said, you know, come up with a plan, get an architect, tell me who would be interested, get some people that want to move in and start this right away. Well, you know what? People just didn't want to take chances on inner city, Kansas. And that was frightening to me. So we've got to attack that safety issue. We've got to, Wyandotte County has got to get the criminal element in hand, because that's keeping people from migrating to the downtown area. And it's improving with Strawberry Hill, that renovation. And there's some, Mayor Holland has got this massive plan, and I've been trying to help him with it through the health care and some support from KU Hospital for a clinic down there. There's hope. There's hope. I'm a great one about hope. I truly believe in hope. I never have given up hope. I never gave up on myself, so I certainly can't give up on anybody else. But yeah, health care is a big thing. And the education process, of course. I'm glad to see the development of the area technical school, because I believe that not everyone has to go to college. Working with their hands is important, and I believe that the trades are extremely important. So, you know, those are the two areas, education and healthcare, and it's my mantra.
Yeah. Well, your enthusiasm and your passion for this area is contagious, and we appreciate everything that you're doing.
Oh, Anne, you're generous. It's a gift to me too. You know, it's a gift every time I see progress in one of these areas, and I think back. For instance, the library, we talked about the changes. When I was introduced to the Kansas City, Kansas Public School Libraries, and we took over the Washington School District Libraries, they were rooms or closets or books in a classroom. There was no rhyme or reason to them. We went into those schools. There were four or five of us that were just lay librarians. Went into those schools, everyone in the Washington District, which means everything west of William Allen White School to the Piper District out here, all the grade schools that are now part of KCK Public. We inventoried every book they had by hand. We didn't have computers at that time. We had little old typewriters that you punched away, but we did it by hand, basically. We wrote it down, and we typed stickers and made there was no catalog card. There was no such thing. We typed catalog cards and made our own catalogs. So that was the beginning. And when I walk into the school libraries today and see all the computerized mechanisms and wonderful access that the kids have to information today, I just look back and I think, oh my goodness, everybody that worked with me on that project in the 60s, early 60s, is gone now. I'm kind of the matriarch of the old library system. But I used to spend my extra time going down to the Carnegie Building on Minnesota Avenue and typing catalog cards as for extra money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we come a long way, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Pat.
You're welcome.
Really enjoyed listening to your story.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege to do this, and I know I've gobbled up a lot more time than you had to give, but I just have to tell you that I hope there is no, as far as the library history is concerned, there is no legitimate one. The one that I gave as a speech for the Friends of the Library once, it was cobbled together from the Kansas room, and the director at that time had opened the doors with no Kansas librarian and let anybody come and go from that room and take whatever they wanted. Many of the historical documents are gone. We have no idea where they are. The maps were abused in a lot of the out-of-print documents by treasure seekers who used knives to cut out the pages, but it broke my heart because it was our history, our Winnetka County history, but it wasn't of interest at that time to the director. So a lot is lost. Mm-hmm. So my history was cobbled together as best I could from documents that I could retrieve, but it's the only thing there is at this point. Mm-hmm. So we have to go with it.
We'll have to hang on to it.
I will. But thank you for
thank you.
Working on this.
Yeah.